Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing making spiritual priorities. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical wholeness and for our spiritual deliverance from sin. Father, I thank you for you allowing your Son to pay the price for our ability to come boldly into your presence through his blood that paid the price for our sin. And in faith, we become your righteousness. God, I thank you for having called us before the foundations of the world to be your children. I thank you for you having given us your word as divine instruction to help us please you, help us serve you, help us trust you, and help us obey you. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to dwell within each and every one of us so that you could be within us, so that you could literally a divine presence in our being. Father, I thank you for you allowing your power to emanate from us in the earth so that the world can feel your love. The world can feel your concern for their well-being, their restoration, their exhortation, their edification, their comfort. God, I thank you for all of those who you've called before the foundations of the world to be your children who do not yet know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the payment for their sin and the payment for their physical wholeness. Father, I thank you for you giving them the desire to walk into your restoration, to walk into your divine purpose, to walk into your divine calling so that they can be bold in telling their story of how you entered into their life and they entered into the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. I worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing making spiritual priorities. And the reason we're going to be discussing this is because I have observed, many people get very excited in church services and discussions when they hear about getting new houses and getting new cars and getting new clothes and getting promotions and getting raises and getting things that are nice to have. God wants to bless you. He really does. God desires for you to be blessed. But God tells us exactly how to receive those blessings from him in Matthew chapter 6, where he tells us to seek first his kingdom, understanding that God's kingdom is comprised of souls, starting with your soul. And your soul is incredibly valuable. It's more valuable than you realize. And then it also is comprised of the souls of others. And if your soul all by itself is so priceless, just imagine how much all of the souls of the children of God are worth collectively. Well, God tells us that if we seek first his kingdom, those souls to be won, including our soul, and we seek his righteousness. Now, we know that the righteousness of God comes through faith of Jesus Christ, and the faith to come to God comes from God. And so we're just receiving what God is giving us. We're receiving the faith. We're receiving the believing power to be able to receive everything that God made available through his son, Jesus Christ, to us. And in doing so, we become the righteousness of God when we make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our master and Lord. And this is so important to understand, because when you understand, when you really understand that your faith is being credited to you as righteousness, your faith is being accounted to you as righteousness, just as Abraham's faith, our father, who's referred to as the father of the faith, Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. So God said, you know what? Your faith, your trust in me, I am crediting to you as righteous. That is so important, because when we seek the kingdom of God and we seek the righteousness of God, God tells us that all the things that the world chases after, all the things that unbelievers chase after, money, success, fame, fortune, houses, cars, land, clothes, food. God says, I'll just give you that stuff. That stuff is yours. But first, you have to seek my kingdom. You have to seek my kingdom by seeking souls and drawing your soul close to me, closer to me. And then seek my righteousness by exercising your faith, by exercising your believing power. And see, your faith is what's being credited to you as righteousness. So when you're seeking those souls, you're seeking the kingdom of God, You're seeking the righteousness of God by exercising your faith, by being a believer. You know, the Word of God says signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe, right? That's what sets us apart from everybody else, is our faith in Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished at Calvary for us on our behalf. And so we have to understand that it's God's desire for us to live a more than abundant life spiritually by having the Holy Spirit within us doing a complete and perfect work from the inside out. That doesn't happen overnight, but it does start happening as soon as you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, as soon as you are water baptized, as soon as you turn away from serving sin, as soon as you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, as soon as you believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, as soon as you call out on the name of Jesus Christ, as soon as you believe to speak in tongues, as soon as you believe to prophesy, as soon as you do these things, what you'll find is there is nothing that the devil can do to talk you out of who you are in Christ. And when you make your spiritual priorities a priority, what you're going to find is that God is just going to bless you. It doesn't mean that trials won't come, because we are going to share in the sufferings of Christ. That's a part of this walk. We're all also going to share in the glory. We are also going to share in the open rewards. See, God tells us that when we pray secretly, he rewards us openly. God tells us when we fast secretly, that means going without food, water for a period, he's going to bless us openly. He's going to reward us openly. It says when we do our good deeds secretly, when we provide charity to others secretly, that he will reward us openly. And he also tells us that when we forgive others, that we will be forgiven. And this is an important thing, because one of the things you'll see in the Old Testament is that with Job, when Job was blessed after having suffered, he was already blessed, but he suffered incredible loss beyond measure. I highly exhort you to read the book of Job sometime. And at the end of his tests and trials, God doubled all that was removed from him. And God blessed him beyond measure. It was not just what he lost. He doubled what he had, but he blessed him with years, additional years of life, long life. And so what we see is that what we can receive from God goes far beyond anything you can go buy in a store. It goes far beyond anything that you can simply work for. And so God is trying to tell us, look, I want you to make time with me. I want you to value the time that you spend with me. And because God is spirit, it says those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And so when we are worshiping God in the spirit, then we are making spiritual priorities. We are getting to the place where God is becoming a real priority in our life, because we are beginning to understand we have to dwell in the spirit realm as often as possible. And dwelling in the spirit realm is intentional, because so much of our life is automatically programmed in this carnal realm, in this fleshly realm, in the realm of the world, in the realm of the five senses, what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. This is our reality for the most part. But when we get to the place where we are seeking the kingdom of God, we are trying to draw our soul near and near to God, and then we are trying to draw the souls of others to God by sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with them. Then we are in that place where we're about to receive from God. And when we seek the righteousness of God by operating that faith, by employing our faith in God, by believing to receive the promises in the Word of God, God says that seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and then seek his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is going to add to you those things that the world is dying for. Everything they're trying to get, they're killing themselves for. Have you ever heard that saying that says money never sleeps, right? They are chasing down every dime they can possibly put their hands on, thinking that is going to fulfill them. And the More Than Abundant Life is so comprehensive, it's so complex, that you have to look at all pieces of the More Than Abundant Life in their respective order. See, first comes spiritual wholeness, spiritual restoration, because nothing else is available without it. Until you're saved, until you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your master, until then, all the other stuff that we're going to talk about is not available to you. So you really need to spend some time reading the book of Acts, chapter 2. I would recommend you read the whole chapter, but specifically Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39 speak to salvation specifically. I would recommend that you read the book of Acts, verses 1 through 6, which specifically speak about salvation. And then I would recommend that you read the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, which specifically speak about salvation. Because, see, after you're saved, after you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, everything else is available to you. And that's why spiritual wholeness, the spiritual of More Than Abundant Life, is the first thing you have to have. The next thing is going to be mental wholeness. Because, see, your mind is the seat of your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions, they define who you are as a person. That is what we are talking about when we are talking about your soul. And so many people confuse their soul with spirit. And that's easily done if you don't understand what the word is saying. So if you go all the way back to Genesis, what you'll find is that when Adam sinned and God said, "You shall surely die," we know that Adam lived like 900 years. and we also know that on that day when he sinned, he did die. But what died was his spirit. He lost that spirit that was within him that allowed him to communicate with God, made him a light being, made him in a place of divine favor. And then as a result of sin, all that was gone. And he had to work it out. He had to fend for himself. And so many people believe that doing it yourself is something to brag about. I'm a self-made so-and-so. I'm like, you know what? Very few of us, if any, are self-made. None of us are self-made. All of us have a mother and a father, meaning someone else literally made you. And then those who developed us as we grew from infancy to being toddlers, to being children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The people who have helped us develop are numerous. And behind all of that is God. So there's no such thing as a self-made anybody. In your mind, you may have deluded yourself to believe you're self-made, but there is no such thing. For us, though, what we have to do is we have to allow ourselves to build ourselves up. And I want to go to a scripture tonight that's going to help get us started down the road of really discussing this topic about making spiritual priorities. I want to start in the book of Jude, chapter 1. I believe it's only one chapter. I'm going to read verses 20 to 21, where it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." See, this is very specific instruction, and it is moving us in the direction of making spiritual priorities. So it's speaking to us, the beloved of God. It tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Then it tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues. Praying in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And when you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you literally are transcending realms. You're going from the physical realm, the carnal realm, to the spiritual realm. And why this is so important is because right now there is a great exchange happening in heaven. Unbelievers believe that the devil is in hell, reigning over hell. And we know that Bible says that's not true. What is true is that the devil is in heaven before the throne of God, accusing the brethren, you and I, daily. That's where he is. That's what he's doing. And when we are speaking in tongues, the language that we don't understand is coming to us through our spirit, to our mind, and we are either speaking out loud in our mouth or we're speaking in our mind to ourselves. And then whatever we are saying in our mind or with our mouth is going back into the heavenlies and making an impact. It's having an impact. But that's us building ourselves up on our most holy faith. We are praying in the Spirit, and in doing so, we are engaging in whatever is going on in the heavenlies, and we are taking our place in the heavenlies. You know, in Ephesians 1, I believe, is where it says that we are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ now. We are seated in the heavenlies with Christ now. See, we have a place in the heavenlies now. And now the question is, are we visiting? Are we reporting for duty? Are we showing up? Are we communicating? Are we checking in? And so I would liken it to someone who has a Facebook page but never uses it, right? Well, this is telling us the beloved of God should be building ourselves up on our most holy faith. See, that's seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is through our faith. And our faith is what we do because we believe. We are called believers, right? It said that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe, right? So praying in the Holy Spirit is a part of this. And then it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So as we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith, as we are praying in the Holy Spirit, as we are keeping ourselves in the love of God, which means we are bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things. Love never fails, right? We are doing what God asks us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then it tells us, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, it is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that's going to make eternal life available to us, because none of us are perfect. So the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ is simply acknowledging the fact that Jesus Christ paid for all of our sin, past, present, and future. There's no need for you to try to delude yourself into thinking that you're never going to sin after you are saved, after you first get born again. That happens. And God has given us new grace and new mercy that we are to employ and receive each and every day. So we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we're keeping ourselves in the love of God by making our love for God manifest by communicating to God daily in our heavenly prayer language. You know what it says in Matthew chapter 6 when God tells us that when we pray secretly, he'll reward us openly? Well, one of the ways you pray secretly is by speaking in tongues. And one of the things that is, or praying in the spirit is speaking in tongues. One of the things that comes to mind is how people, especially during political cycles and election season in the United States, they start talking about how people have taken prayer out of the school. And I think to myself, how can you take prayer out of school? You can't take prayer out of school. I graduated from high school in 1984, but I believe they were talking about prayer being taken out of school back then even. And the fact is that every morning we go to the cafeteria, we would pray. And even after that, and this is just a small group of us, we prayed. It wasn't everybody. It was just those of us who wanted to be there praying throughout the day. I could be anywhere in the school doing anything and be speaking in tongues to myself, having an impact in the heavenlies wherever I was. You can't take that out of school. To suggest that somebody can take prayer out of school is giving the devil power he doesn't have. Now, if you're talking about combining church and state and forcing people who aren't in the church to pray, that's something else. That's something else you're talking about. And that might not be of God. See, our testimony is by what we actually do in our actual lives that actually keeps ourselves in the love of God, which is usually looking for others to be delivered, others to be saved, others to be healed, others to be encouraged, to be comforted, others to be restored. See, the love of God, though, starts by loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because God is spirit, he's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you want to worship God in spirit, you have to pray to God in the spirit. Get it? You understand? So it's not to make anybody feel less than if they have not yet believed to speak in tongues. The idea is to encourage you to believe to speak in tongues by showing you what the Bible has to say about praying in the Holy Spirit. And here it says, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. One of the ways we do that is by speaking in our heavenly prayer language to God at all times. And one of the things that it says in the scripture is when we do this, we are confirming the Spirit of God speaking with our spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, and confirming that we are children of God. See, because nobody who speaks in tongues can call God a curse. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Wherefore I make known unto you that no man speaking in the Spirit of God saith, Jesus is accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." See, when you are speaking in tongues, you are literally saying Jesus is Lord. When you are speaking in tongues, you cannot speak against Jesus Christ. It says, "No man speaking in the Spirit of God saith Jesus is accursed." And see, part of this keeping ourselves in the love of God is God says, "You love me? Make my son, Jesus Christ, your master. You love me? Bow down to my son, Jesus Christ. You love me? Worship me." And we know that the Bible says that speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. The Bible says speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. The Bible says that speaking in tongues is intercession for the saints. We know that the Bible says speaking in tongues is building up your inner man. And see, that's what's going into eternity. Our inner man, our soul, is going into eternity. This flesh and blood body we have here, this isn't going into eternity. No houses, no cars, no clothes, no businesses, none of that is going into eternity. Your soul is going into eternity. I saw the most fascinating thing this week, actually a couple days ago, and it kind of surprised me because of how quickly it happened. And I believe it was Sunday. My wife and I were going to the store. We left, and as we were going out the front door, there was this caterpillar crawling up the side of the house and on the siding, and I thought to take a picture of it, but I didn't. I believe my son may have taken a picture, but by the time we got back from the store, about an hour and a half later, that caterpillar had attached itself to the bottom part of the siding and was hanging there as a cocoon. It had transformed into a chrysalis or whatever they call it. And it didn't look anything like it looked when we saw it crawling up the side of the house, but it changed that quickly. Now, I've been watching it over the past couple days just hanging there in its current form. And ultimately, that's going to become a butterfly. But to literally see that transformation taking place before my eyes, I literally saw this caterpillar crawling up the side of the house. And then when I came back, it had attached itself, and it's like a glowing green glob just hanging there. And the next thing that's going to spring forth from that is going to be a butterfly with wings that's going to be flying. And see, it's that level of transformation that we should all expect in our life when we commit to making spiritual priorities a reality in our life, so that we acknowledge that we are the beloved of God, so that we do build ourselves up on our most holy faith, so that we do pray in the Holy Spirit as we speak in tongues, so that we do keep ourselves in the love of God by thinking of others first, so that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love ourselves. And we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, when we get to the place where we are excited about saying that Jesus is Lord as we are speaking in tongues, and we know that's what we're doing, we are affirming in our heavenly prayer language that Jesus is Lord as we are speaking in tongues. That's part of us seeking the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It is unlimited. It is without limits and with all power. So we have to understand why the Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And then he said, I would that all of you would speak in tongues. We are in this continual battle between our carnal reality and our spiritual reality. And what that is this tug of war between your flesh and your spirit for the attention of your soul. And as I said earlier, your soul consists of your mind, will, and emotions. It's who you are. It's your consciousness. It's the first thing that is no longer going to be in effect after you take your last breath. When you take your last breath, well, one, when you take your first breath, that's when your mind, will, and emotions are engaged. And then when you take your last breath, that's when your mind, will, and emotions become dormant until the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, your flesh is competing for the attention of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And it wants to be entertained. It wants to be comforted. It wants to be satiated. It wants to be satisfied. It wants to be content, et cetera, et cetera. It wants what it wants, whatever it wants. Sometimes it wants to be punished. But if you are born again, your spirit is also contending for the attention of your soul. And your spirit is trying to draw you near to the things of God. Your spirit wants you to spend time in perfect prayer to God, secretly speaking in tongues to yourself while you're doing whatever. If you're in your car by yourself, you might be speaking in tongues out loud. You might be singing in tongues. You might be in your prayer room just doing your thing, right? But this is time with you and God. If you are allowing your spirit to dominate the attention of your soul, you might be studying God's word. You might be fasting. You might be fellowshipping with like-minded believers. You might just be listening to songs and hymns of praise, right? But see, the thing is, you have to feed your soul. You have to build up your inner man and understand that that presence within you is something that is yearning for the attention of your soul as much as your flesh is yearning for the attention of your soul. And so it's necessary to allow yourself to exercise the power of the Holy Spirit in your life at all times so that you're calling the shots and not you're allowing your spirit to call the shots and not your flesh. But you get to choose. It's free will. See, God has given you the ability to stay grounded down here. And if you behave like the Gentiles and you seek the things of the flesh first, instead of seeking the kingdom of God first and seeking the righteousness of God first, then God says, I'm not adding anything to you. You're going to get it yourself. And I'll tell you, doing it yourself is not going to be the same as the blessing of doing God's things God's way. God wants you to do things decently and in order so he can bless you. And he says, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then I'm just going to give you all that stuff. Wouldn't that be something? And I have learned that when I put God's work first, then God blesses. And he provides those things that allow me to do more, better. And that is so necessary. It's necessary to know that not only is God asking you to do things you never could do without him, but to know that he's giving you the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you to be able to do those things. See, God is all-knowing. God is present everywhere. And God is all-powerful. So what that's telling you is you have a specific advantage and that the creator of the heavens and the earth is aware of events, past, present, and future, that he is directing on your behalf when you trust him, when you serve him, when you please him, when you obey him. And see, when we get to the point where we make our spiritual life a priority, then we're going to see us living a more than abundant life spiritually first, then mentally, because we're going to know what the Word of God says. We're going to be able to renew our mind to that Word and then begin to do the things that we know, right? And when we do the things we know, that's going to produce in our life emotional wholeness, because our emotions are just that. They are the result of us moving, us doing. See, emotion, the result of our motion, the result of what we do is going to be our reaction, our reality to doing what we know mentally from studying the Word of God, that we are able to process because of the spiritual wholeness and the presence of the Holy Spirit within our life. Then we're going to be able to produce in our life physical wholeness, because see, a lot of times physical ailments come from emotional disorders that come from mental disturbances that come from the absence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so now when you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God and you do the Word of God, now you can see physical manifestations of healing and restoration that allow you to walk in to what God already paid for when his son Jesus Christ was beat 3 times for your physical wholeness. Jesus Christ was beat 3 different times with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at it, with 39 lashes each time for your physical wholeness. Now just imagine, the devil had the opportunity to get at the Son of God directly. How bad do you think that beating really was? I've seen it depicted in Hollywood movies, but I'd imagine it was a lot worse. The only reason why I imagine it was a lot worse is because the devil had permission to do everything except break his bones. See, when you read the story I was telling you about earlier with Job in the book of Job, you're going to see how the devil basically told God that Job worshiped him because God blessed him so much. And God told, and the devil said, hey, if I go down there and take away all the stuff you gave him, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, all right, you can go down there and take his stuff, just don't touch him. And God sets a limit. When God sets a limit, he can't go past that limit. So the devil did all that bad stuff, and Job didn't curse God. Didn't stop the devil. The devil said, hey, all right, you may have been right with that, but let me touch his person. He said, if you let me touch his being, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, all right, go on down there. You can touch his being, but don't kill him. See, God set a limit again. And he went down and he plagued Job with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And I don't know if you've ever had a boil or an abscess or a really bad zit, but just imagine having your whole body covered with that kind of a pain, right? And Job at this point wanted to die. And his wife was telling him, just curse God and die. Just get it over with. His friends came and hung out with him, and they basically told him, you had to do something to get in this situation because this doesn't happen to good people. And what's fascinating about the story of Job is that at the beginning of the book, God says that Job was a righteous man before God. And God said to the devil, consider my servant Job. There is no one like him in the whole earth. God is bragging on Job behind Job's back about how awesome he is. And yet his friends show up and they see his condition. And what they do, what a lot of us do, It's called the just cause phenomenon, where we see somebody suffering and we equate their suffering with something they did or didn't do. And what we're saying in our mind is good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. And if something bad is happening to you, then you probably brought this on yourself. But what God is telling us in this whole narrative of Job is that good things happen to everyone. Great things happen to everyone. Bad things happen to everyone. Ugly things happen to everyone. This is all a part of life. But God tells us in his word in the New Testament that he causes all things to work together for our good, who are called according to his purpose. And that all things is the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly. God causes all of those things to work together for our good because we love him and because we are called according to his purpose. The other thing that God tells us, I believe that's Romans 8, the other thing that God tells us is that he will not allow us to be tempted above what we can endure, but with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. And so what we see in the book of Job is not only is there a way of escape for Job, toward the end of his affliction, he has to pray for his friends who came and showed up and told him that he brought this on himself. God said, you better pray for your friends or I'm going to deal with them myself. After Job prayed for his friends is when Job got his deliverance from God. And what we see is after we've endured our tests, after we endured our trial, after we suffered long, then God restores. God blesses. God rewards openly. And see, and the thing that God did in that particular situation was he made himself manifest to Job. See, Job acknowledged God before he's speaking with God. But in this scenario, the conversation between Job and God only occurred after Job hit what we would call the wall, after Job was going through some serious hardship. I mean, he was being afflicted with a capital A. We all would have signed up for that under any circumstances. And yet, what we have to see is that the power of God is greater than the power of the devil, period. As a matter of fact, the power that is within you, he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. And that is in 1 John chapter 4. And you really need to check that out. Spend some time reading 1 John chapter 4. It will bless you. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. But when you get to that point where you allow yourself to speak in tongues, understanding that it is perfect prayer to God, it won't sound nice and neat and pretty at first, but neither did your natural language when you were a baby and you started uttering sounds that sounded like the people around you when you were a child, right? When you cried out to God, when you cried out to your mom and dad, it sounded like crying to them, but you were just asking for some food, or asking for some comfort, or asking for somebody to change your diaper. You couldn't speak the language per se, but you were making noise, right? Well, this experience isn't for anybody else. This is between you and God. And see, this is one of the things that we also get wrong in the church, is so many people in the church have used speaking in tongues as a calling card, as a driver's license, as evidence. And that is not the case. As a matter of fact, what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is that speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. It is a sign to the uninitiated, the unlearned in Christ. And it lets them know that the words that they're about to hear in interpretation are coming after the words that are spoken in tongue. Otherwise, there is no need for one to speak in a tongue publicly. That is really for your private prayer life because it builds up your inner man, right? But when you speak in tongues in public, you are to believe to also interpret so that you receive the interpretation just like you receive the tongue. See, the language that you're speaking when you're speaking in tongues, it comes from the Holy Spirit to your mind. And then you speak with your mouth or you speak in your head. But in any case, you're building up yourself. That's who it's for. It's a conversation between you and God, and that's why it's perfect prayer. Because God says when you speak in tongues, when you pray secretly is one of the things we could say about this. When you're building up your inner man, God says he'll reward you openly. Now, we all want to be rewarded openly. God wants to reward us openly right now, not in eternity. He wants to reward us right now. What that tells other people is if I have a personal relationship with God and I am praying secretly and I'm fasting secretly and I'm doing my good deeds secretly and I'm forgiving others, then God's rewarding me openly and I'm being forgiven. See, that is so important. And when we're seeking the kingdom of God and we're seeking the righteousness of God by exercising our faith, then God says all those things that everybody else is just killing themselves to get, I'm going to give those to you. I'm going to let you walk into those things and receive because you're putting my things first. And that's the thing. I mean, what you see over and over and over in the Old Testament is God's people being delivered. They're given water. They're given food. They're given provision. They're given victory. And they keep turning away from God. It seems like the ones that God blessed the most, their response to God was worse than people who'd never known God. And that's sad. That's unfortunate. It's hard to imagine, right? Well, it's hard to imagine on this side, but let's say that you're somebody who has not yet known God, who has not yet met or engaged or become aware of the possibility that you could have a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, and he can be your master and allow you to enter into the presence of his Father, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth. See, that is a tremendous privilege that is always available to you when you are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when you turn away from serving sin, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, when you believe in your heart that God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, when you call on the name of Jesus, when you believe to speak in tongues, when you believe to prophesy, you won't have any doubt in your mind that you are a child of God, that you are going to heaven. And one of the biggest attacks that saved people get every day is you're not really saved, or you wouldn't have did so and so and so and so. And see, that's an attack from the devil. It's a lie. And that's why when you are speaking in tongues, your spirit is agreeing with God's spirit that you are a child of God. It's affirming that you are a child of God. And you have to walk in that. You have to stand in that place. You have to be so absolutely convinced of who you are in Christ that it doesn't matter who speaks against you, who provokes you. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest breakthroughs that I've been entering into myself lately is praying for my enemies. One of the things that Job did before he received his breakthrough was he actually prayed for his friends who were just acting like enemies. They were literally speaking against the purposes of God in his life and telling him that he was guilty, even though he was insisting he was not guilty. And we know he wasn't guilty because God was bragging on Job at the very beginning of the book, saying, I don't have anybody else like him in the earth. And you know what actually got the devil's attention? This is what got the devil's attention and got him going up there to God to ask to mess with him, is he saw this righteous man praying to God, but he was praying to God because his children were tripping. His overindulged children were having feasts at their house, and he felt that they were moving away from God, and he was trying to intercede on their behalf, and he was really exhibiting fear. And the devil said, hey, wait, what's this guy? What's this righteous guy doing begging like this? What's he doing? What's he afraid of? Why is he so afraid? And you know, I think for us, it's a good example of how the devil can use those that we care for in order to take us away from the confidence that we have in God and cause us to become distracted and open the door for the devil to begin to attack us. And that's why we have to literally give our loved ones to God. We have to pray for them, expecting God to do a complete and perfect work, but being able to take our hands and simply let our prayers do the work. Take our hands off of the situation, let our prayers do the work, because there are situations that our loved ones can get in that the only way we can really have an effect is by prayer and intercession. But see, when we're speaking in tongues, we're able to speak mysteries to God. See, one of the ways you speak mysteries to God is you are making utterances that no one understands except God. And all you need to know is God hears you. And you don't need to know the details of what's going on in someone's life. If God puts somebody on your mind and you start speaking in tongues for that person, you're thinking about that person while you're speaking in tongues, incredible things are happening, because you don't need to know everybody's business for God to handle things. God is all powerful. What he is doing is he's energizing the body to show us how we all work together, to show us how we all need one another, to show us how God is able to succeed in all situations. God is able to prevail in all situations. God is able to turn our dark day into a day of light. He's able to turn our tough situation into something that gets glory for him by easily routing the enemy. There's a verse in Proverbs where God says, your enemy will come against you one way, but will flee before you seven ways. And what he is literally saying is you won't see this coordinated attack of the enemy until the enemy flees before my power that is operating through you. See, that's why we want to invite the power of God into our life. That's why we want to begin to have spiritual priorities of making time to study God's word, making time to fast, making time to fellowship with like-minded believers, making time to do our good deeds secretly, making time to forgive and pray for our enemies, pray for our friends, pray for our family, pray for everybody. But the power to do that only is present if you are saved, if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord and master of your life. And if you've done that, then all these things are available to you. You are able to walk in the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and receive the goodness of God because you are seeking the kingdom of God first, which consists of your soul and everybody else's soul. You are seeking the righteousness of God, which comes through your faith in Jesus Christ. See, what you believe is going to produce and qualify you for what God says he'll do in Matthew 6:31, where he says, seek first my kingdom, seek my righteousness, and all of these things that unbelievers chase after, I'm just going to give you. I'm going to make available for you and to you. And see, it's that level of faith in God. When we do God's things first, we seek the kingdom of God first, our soul and the souls of others. And then we seek the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ by operating that level of faith that produces signs, miracles, and wonders, that believes for God to fulfill the promises that he made available to us in his word. And when we get to the point where we take this seriously, we're going to see things that we couldn't even imagine happen to us, through us, for us, with us. And that's why we want to make spiritual priorities. That's why we want to be in this place where we understand that when we're speaking in tongues, we're speaking the wonderful works of God and building up our inner man. And when we understand that speaking in tongues is praying in secret, and God says that he'll reward us openly when we pray in secret, that's something we want to do. And one of the things that happens when we do this is we'll have this incredible blessing of contentment. There's this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that says godliness with contentment is great gain. And one of the things that you're going to find is when you shift your priorities from the carnal to the spiritual, people have this saying in the church. They say, you're so heavenly good, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And what they're really trying to say is you have no common sense. But really, what God is asking you to do is just that. Take your mind off of all this nonsense and focus on the things of God and turn it around. Be so heavenly minded that the power of God is able to flow out of you on earth. So many people in the church have it backwards, where they believe that God is trying to get them in heaven, when the reality is God is trying to get heaven out of you right now. See, right now is when God is trying to use you. And in eternity, all that has been set up. All that is, Jesus Christ said, I am going to prepare a place for you in the heavenlies. So your place is reserved. It is happening right now. He's preparing that place for you. But you have to also understand that there's a work for us to do right now. Every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. Your job is to reconcile the world back to God. That means that there are people that only you can reach. There are people that only someone who can go to the places that you can go, who can speak to the people that you can speak to, who can understand the needs of the people that you understand, are going to be impacted. And your assignment as a minister of reconciliation, every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. Every born-again believer has been called to draw those souls into the kingdom by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we all need to know, every born-again believer needs to know Acts 2:38 and 39, Acts 19:1 through 6, and Romans 10, verses 8 to 13. You need to memorize those verses. You need to get those verses down in there deep, because all three of those verses have to do with your salvation and the salvation of others. Romans 10, 8 to 13, Acts 19, 1 through 6, and Acts 2, 38 and 39. Write those down and then spend some time studying them. But then spend some time studying 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and read what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. We're going to get into this a little deeper sometime in the future. But tonight, I just want you to let the idea marinate in your mind that you want to build yourself up on your most holy faith. You want to speak in your heavenly prayer language by praying in the Spirit so that you can keep yourself in the love of God by loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, by loving yourself and by loving others, even your enemies. And see, remember with Job, after he had suffered all of his affliction, he prayed for his friends who were behaving like enemies by insisting he deserved to be punished the way he was suffering. And we know that this wasn't the case at all. It was just the devil hating on how blessed Job was. And the devil told God, if you hadn't blessed him so, he wouldn't serve you the way he serves you. He wouldn't treat you the way he does. He said, take away all that stuff. And God let the devil take away all that stuff. And Job did not curse God. That's a powerful thing. We want to have that kind of relationship with God. I would love to think that God might be bragging about me, which I'm not so sure. You know, I think there are times God is excited about the way that I trust him and some of the things I do. But it's like, I wish I could even think I was at that level, you know, but someday I believe I'll get there. I do. I believe God will be bragging about me someday. But when you look at everything Job had to go through, if I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit within me, I would be afraid. But I'm not afraid, because that's the whole point. God says he prepares our table of blessings in the presence of our enemies. So you can't have the blessings of God, the feast and feast at the table of God's blessings, without the presence of your enemies. So the question is, do you want to be blessed? Are you prepared to engage the power of the Holy Spirit in you? And that's why you have to shift from your carnal priorities to your spiritual priorities. You got to put God's things first if you're really going to benefit from God's blessings, because what God has for you is bigger than you can possibly imagine. What's going to require of you is for you to man up. You're going to have to get spiritually tough. You're going to have to begin to not be so concerned about what everybody thinks. See, there is a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. But there is actual godliness that embraces the power of the Holy Spirit. And actual godliness that embraces the power of the Holy Spirit is people who serve God and not money, people who please God and not people, people who trust God and not their own understanding, and people who obey God by operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of merely operating out of their natural strengths, talents, and abilities. And when you get to the point where you seek to serve God, please God, trust God, and obey God, you are going to be in that dimension that allows you to readily access the power of God and produce signs, miracles, and wonders in your life. The other thing that the devil is trying to prevent in your life is to keep you from living a fruitful Christian life, a fruitful Christian experience. At the end of the day, the devil wants to be able to say, there's no difference between you and someone who's not saved. And we all know that's not true. But if he can make others believe that by getting you to believe it, then you won't expect to see in your life or anybody else who's saved in their life, you won't expect to see the kind of love, the kind of joy, the kind of peace, the kind of gentleness, the kind of meekness the kind of patience, the kind of faithfulness, and the kind of self-control that you should expect to see in the life of every believer. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the result of operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues and interpret. You prophesy. You receive word of knowledge. You receive word of wisdom. You receive discerning of spirits. And then you produce supernatural acts of faith. You produce miracles, and you produce gifts of healing in the lives of others. And when you're doing this, you're using that power that God's placed within you. Now, we grow from grace to grace and faith to faith. We are increasing from day to day. We are not belittling those who are on their way to doing great and mighty works for God. But we see how even Saul, who was an enemy of the church, was transformed. He was converted from being an enemy to being the foremost apostle. But there were people who had to teach him. There were people who had to instruct him. There were people who had to guide him. But Jesus Christ personally introduced himself and said, "Hey, why are you persecuting me, Saul? What's up? You're going to have to turn this around. I'm not going to put up with much more of this." And Saul was blinded for 3 days and 3 nights. That's why we call a 3-day fast with no food, no water, a Paul fast, a Pauline fast, some people call it. And it's because for 3 days and 3 nights, until he received his sight and ultimately ended up getting baptized, he was without food and water during those times, during that time, those 3 days and three nights. And so when we fast, a lot of times, if you're going through a severe attack, if the devil has attacked your health, if the devil has attacked your wealth, if the devil has attacked your peace, if the devil has attacked your mental stability, whatever the devil is attacking, if you focus and you fast for those 3 days and three nights, God will give you an answer. God will give you peace. God will give you restoration. But you can't be afraid of the things of God, because the devil will always send somebody around to tell you it doesn't take all that. And then they'll try to sugarcoat it and make it seem like that's what faith is. Faith is reading what the Word of God says, so that you know and understand what it's actually saying, and then doing what it tells you to do in order to receive the promise that is put forth very clearly in the Scripture. And when you study God's Word so that you can literally see what it is saying, see, I don't want to know what people are saying about the Bible. I don't want to know what people are saying about the Word of God. I want to know, what did God say? That requires study. That requires me to spend time in the Word of God myself, reading the Bible. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, as we rightly divide the word of truth. And when we do this, we're not going to be disappointed in our expectations, because what we're going to find is God always does exactly what he said he was going to do in his word. God said he magnified his word above his name, meaning that he exalted his word and said that his word is a limit that even he can transgress against. And God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is present everywhere. And he set a limit for himself and said, I cannot transcend my word. I cannot lie. I cannot go against my word. And so that's why we need to know his word. We need to study his word. We need to prioritize God's word as much as God prioritized his word. And if God set a limit upon himself as an unlimited being and said that limit is my word, then we need to study God's word so that we can know God. Because see, that's God's intent, is to demonstrate to us his heart and intent, his purpose, his will, his emotions, and his mind for us. God tells us that the plan that he has for us is good, a plan to prosper us and to keep us in perfect health. We need to believe this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone out tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone. I thank you for you strengthening someone. I thank you for you encouraging someone. God, I thank you for you restoring someone. Father, I thank you for you delivering someone. I thank you for your blessings pouring into the lives of those who seek your kingdom and those who seek your righteousness through employing and activating their faith and seeking those souls that you've called from the beginning of the earth, God, to be with you. I thank you for your perfect plan of dwelling with your people and your people dwelling with you being realized as a result of our active participation in winning those souls for the kingdom and all that we do. God, I thank you for you rewarding us openly when we pray secretly, when we fast secretly, when we do our good deeds secretly. And Father, I thank you for how you forgive us when we forgive others. God, I thank you for all of this right now in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
If my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their
see.
Hallelujah.